Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
New Sam Fender. You know I love Sam Fender. I love this music. And he's got a new song, Sam Fender. I was worried Sam Fender disappeared. And maybe I was wrong, but no, he's making new music from England somewhere. This song's called All Right. And I feel all right. And I'm feeling all right as I'm here with Johnny Lieberman. I'm here with Reggie.
Are you here with Reggie?
Reggie's in the bathroom. As we say,
are
on the
you
movie
locked
set,
in? He's locked in. He's locked in the Lucid.
As we say on the set, he's 10-2. That means you're taking a number two on the set. 10-1.
I literally have to go over there to unlock him.
Do you know what I call 10-3? That means if you have a cloaca, some sort of bird hole where you pee and poop out of. That's 10-3. Johnny Lieberman is now walking over to the Lucid to let Reggie out, who was trapped. And this is Sam Fender. Why was he locked in the Lucid?
Because I have the key and I walked away from it.
Yeah, but what if you were a dog or something?
Here. I think dogs would be okay, but...
Yeah, Reggie, go... Oh, he's getting something.
He's making espresso at the moment. Please.
Can you really not open it up if you're trapped inside?
I don't know. This is the first I've ever seen of this.
Well, welcome to Spike's Car Radio. I hope you're having a nice summer. We're having a nice time. It's a Saturday. We're in Zuckerman's Hangar. Zuckerman's still in Portugal.
Still.
Feasting on Portuguese pastries.
He's going to come back nice.
The Portuguese live in Portugal, right?
Yeah.
I'm not wrong about that.
The Portuguese live in Portugal,
He keeps sending me pictures of these grand ballrooms and places he's staying. And I said, this still doesn't make you a gentleman of any kind. You can wrap yourself around, you can wrap that stuff around you, but we all know what you are.
No, Barbary Ape. I thought we settled that last time.
He said, I'm going to see the Barbary Apes. I said, look in the mirror. You'll see the first Barbary Ape. And I'm having a good car day. Saturday is a great day for me because it's I'm spilling out of the work week, a home late on Friday night, tense, and we get out and we drive first thing in the morning, and I'm having an outstanding car day. Just one of my little car stories. The Defender came back this week.
I saw.
Anthony Lehner and those guys put it right back together with their connections at Land Rover, got me the parts. Not that fast, but fast. Truck is perfect. I was so happy to be reacquainted with it. I thought I was going to have a magical drive in it, but then I remembered you can't have, I've had that around for a year and a half, that when you have a truck or a car that's damaged, you go from zero to minus 10 and then you don't come up past zero again.
So you're hesitant.
You don't know. You don't get a high drive off of that. It doesn't get better. It just brings you back to where you were.
I see.
Whereas
I see.
If you take a car and you restore it and it comes back from the restorer, then you get a 10 pop.
High. I see. Yeah.
So I saw it in the driveway. It got dropped and I was so excited to get in it the next day and it just felt like it always felt. But it's good to have it back.
It's back.
It's good to have it back.
Yeah. But what did you drive?
And this morning, we were in a 73 911 RS, one of my favorite cars.
The orange one?
No, this was a white with blue emblem car. But just on an open PCH early in the morning, no bright sun. It was just perfection.
Whose is this?
Oh, who do you think?
Oh, yeah.
People are getting tired of me name dropping names. I am not going to say it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to deprive you
of
interesting information about somebody I know.
Yeah. So it was Larry Davids.
It was Larry Davids.
Yeah. That's cool. Good for him. Good for Larry.
And then I
put that's a nice car.
Listen, wait, I've got news.
Okay.
While Zuckerman was out, and I've made some moves on the Zagato too. He's going to learn about them, and it'll be in a subsequent episode. But something very exciting happened with that car. I threw some new tires on the GT3 Touring.
And what kind of tires?
They're Pirellis.
Pirelli Witches. Gorgeous.
I called my friends at Stokes out here in Santa Monica, and they race Porsches. And I said, look, I got this GT3 Touring. And he goes, loud tire noise. And I go, yeah, that's right. He goes, those are amazing tires. For the track!
Yeah.
He goes, are you racing it? And I said, no, it's a touring car. It's a T. It's a touring. And he goes, I'm going to get you a set of Pirellis, and you let me know how you like them. So we put the Pirellis on this morning. I just picked the car up and drove over here.
Do you know what type of Pirellis?
I haven't looked at a P0s. Even know. I haven't had a second. Okay. Picked up the car, came right here because I'm late. I'm running late today.
And is it quieter?
And that's the big news.
It's quieter.
The car, I'm hearing the engine now. I'm hearing the car the way the car was meant to sound, but I'm not hearing tire noise and road noise. It's been reduced, I would say, by about 70%.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So I just jammed on the 405 over here where I was having trouble hearing my radio before. And all I had was glorious engine noise, which I love, exhaust notes, and not tire roll rumble. That stuff. That stuff that you only hear in race cars when you're on track.
Yeah.
But now I'm feeling insecure about losing all that stick.
That's what I was going to ask is you got to drive it back to back with another one with the real tires and see what
you actually lose. Real tires. I've got them there.
Oh, so you're fine.
I put them in the hangar.
Yeah, you're fine.
And if I jump out onto a track with this car, but I'm telling you I never will, not in this car.
Yeah.
G4RS, I will, not in this car.
Yeah.
Or I'll have the original tires when I turn the car over to somebody,
right?
Because they're in new condition.
Right.
But now I have a car that I think.
So you're happy.
I think. I mean, I've been in it for 5 minutes. I think I'm going to be very happy. Now Zuckerman might actually drive it, which would also make me happy.
Yeah.
And I'm having a nice car day. It's a nice Saturday car day.
Does he know about the tires?
No. People ask me about Plan Z, how it works. That's how it works.
Right.
I don't have to even tell him. He'll be fine with it. He won't even care.
Right. Or notice. Yeah.
He will notice.
No. Yeah.
He said, I'm not driving the car. It's too loud. It's not covering it. And he's right. Because he and I are doing the same type of driving right now, which is right down Sunset and into the city and then back home. And it doesn't, it's fun. You know, we were out at a location this weekend up in La Cañada, Flint Ridge, on the way to Angeles Crest.
That's where
I
live.
Now, that was a fun drive.
Yeah, that's
to where and from and the Jeep with those tires. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
but through the city, I want something quieter. I need something quieter. Otherwise, I'm not going to drive the car. So I'll let you know. I'll keep reporting on it.
All right.
The rest of it.
So I'd be curious because I, you know, my thing is with cars like that, like I'll put up with the pain because I know how great it grips.
But you're up in Angeles Crest gripping around corners and beating on the car. That's I'm not going to do that to this car. That's not what it was meant to do. It was meant to function, you know, like Reggie's car, which is driving to and from work and driving around in it and functioning in my life. I want a GT3 Touring that functions to take my wife out to dinner in.
But the Porsche peer is listening and say, just get a turbo. Why don't you just get a Porsche turbo?
No, I want a GT3.
But a GT3 grips and rips around corners and makes a lot of noise.
As this will.
Okay, well, we'll see.
But do I need it gripping around turns at 160? Am I going to make that hard left at Road Atlanta in this thing? No, I'm not.
I mean, now you can't. Maybe. We'll.
What could I do in it other than, you know, as I was driving, I was thinking I would love the back end to come out every once in a while. It might be fun. That's I like about those cars. Yeah. That's what I liked about the last Touring. It was that you could dance it around a little bit. It's fun. But I'm not, when you're on the road, you're not racing. Are you?
I mean, sometimes it happens. it definitely happens.
These tires already are just fine. It's not like I'm putting on, I don't know, bicycle tires.
Well, I'll go take a look in a sec. But like, yeah,
yeah,
like,
you I know, need like, you to take a look. Like, please tell
just
me what
so
you
we know
think.
What they are.
I need to know what you think. I've never done this before. It's only 35 years of car collecting, but I've never done it before.
Well, I find it you, curious Ricky. You bought tires and don't know if they're P0s or courses.
Well, you want me to really take you through that decision? Stokes Tires has a Porsche racing team and intimately know this issue, and here's what they recommended, and I trust them on this one.
Okay, okay. So I'm curious
in the meantime,
to know what
I'm
it
calling
is.
Actions and cuts and sweating bullets. And I just said, put on the Pirellis if that's what you think I should have. He goes, we have a lot of GT3s coming through here, and I know what you're going to want. This is what our customers are responding to. So I threw them on. And I said, I think these tires, I'm going to have to wait, heat them up a little bit before I start dancing around them. He goes, yeah, you just got to drive them a little bit. Don't just get on them immediately. But on the roads of LA, you're going to be happier here.
I'm going to guess they're just the P0s off the turbo, because that's what the turbo comes with.
Maybe.
I could stand up, but I'm not going to.
It doesn't really matter.
It's a long walk.
Yeah.
A lot of cars to get around.
That's a decent 40 feet.
Zuckerman left a bunch of cars literally.
We have a big
place.
Show, and gratefully, I have a lot of complaining to do to all of you.
Oh, uh-oh. Good.
Yeah. But Johnny, you directed my anger right away.
That's good. That's good. What did Reggie do? I know what I did.
Reggie
what
all.
Tires you had.
My tires?
What do you have?
Tires, but I think I just got like the Michelin...
see, nobody really Eagles? Cares about their tires. Michelin people? Eagles.
You know, Michelin Condors. Sorry,
Condors.
Yeah, they're the special polycarbonate. No, I don't know. I'm going to find out.
This is a park.
He's going to go look.
Guys, this is go Google.
This is a car podcast.
Yeah.
None of us know what tires are on our cars.
I know what tires are on cars. I can tell you. You know.
Look at mine.
He's checking.
Reggie, look at mine while you're out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Reggie.
Okay, go ahead. Drum roll, please. He's got his flashlight out.
Yeah.
Eagle.
Oh,
okay, now look at mine. Go, see what I have on that thing.
So those are great tires. Those are good Michelin PS4 replacement tire. That's a great tire.
On his Taycan.
Yes. That's a
what
very
do we got?
Nice tire.
These are Continental.
He said they're Continentals, but he
wow.
was making... P0, okay.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Fantastic. So they're not courses. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what comes on a turbo, so that makes sense.
Fantastic.
There we go. Those are the same tire. Yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you else. I had a couple of iffy moments in those the tires, the Michelins that came on the car. I was on the phone. It tends to grip so well that when the pavement runs in a different direction, otherwise not straight, and your hands are not on the wheel, the car darts away from you.
Yeah.
And I find that to be a little dangerous. And I tested it on the, you know, there are two jumps on the 405 between Sunset and the 10. I let the steering wheel go just to see what would happen. And I almost lost shit. I lost the car.
Yeah.
The car jumped and went off to the side and I almost lost it.
Why did it do that?
Because the tires are sucking so hard to the pavement. If the pavement grooves right and you're still going straight,
it just
straight,
goes with
it'll
where
go like,
it
goes like
grooves.
That.
Yeah.
And that is not something I'm looking for on the road.
No.
On the racetrack, you don't have to worry about that. You got a nice flat surface.
Yeah.
On the road, and this car is 99% road, maybe 100% road, I don't want to have to worry about taking my hands off the wheel.
I get you.
But if you... you also don't want to have to worry about taking your hands off the wheel. Here's some cars that Collecting Cars are selling. This 1977 Fiat 500 Scoliosis 26S. Is that the word?
No.
Oh, scoliosis.
It's not the scoliosis.
Oh, known for its small size. Didn't we do this
looks
car
really
last week?
Yeah, we did that car last week.
Wow, these guys originally delivered to Italy. Might still be for sale.
Yeah.
Might not still be for sale.
It's like a mini Italian Jeep. Gotta
they have
it.
That. Let's see. Then if memory serves me correctly, there was an Aston Martin of some... Oh, yes!
Yeah!
This Aston Martin Mirage Volante.
Ooh.
I'm sure if you go to collectingcars.com right now...
You'll find that. And
you'll
many
find
others just like it.
Different cars, not from last week's show. What are you doing?
He's doing yoga.
Are you... Oh, you look like you were
sorry, stretching out my
going
knee.
Going to the bathroom.
He's giving birth.
I just did.
Collectingcars.com. Go check it out. They've got great memorabilia. You don't have to go to Monterey. You don't have to go to Pebble Beach. You don't have to go to those big shot auctions. You go to collectingcars.com right now, and they've got everything there. The memorabilia, the motorcycles, Ferrari signs, beautiful cars. For any enthusiasts looking to stand up for the crowd, this summer drives collector with a keen eye for originality. This is an excellent, unrestored example of an incredibly rare modern cruiser. I don't even know what I'm reading anymore. Just go to collectingcars.com. I'll tell you, I blew, and this might be a complaining show, but sometimes those can be entertaining.
Because sure.
I'm complaining about bad things that have been happening to me, and bad, really the wrong word. But Thursday, James Garner's daughter, who I know, reached out to me and said, hey, James Garner's stuff is going up for auction tomorrow, Friday.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, wow. Any watches? She goes, yeah, one of his, the watch he wore in the Rockford Files.
Oh, whoa. What kind of watch is that?
Lucian something or other. Okay. I've never heard of it before.
Okay. Yeah.
But it comes with a picture of Rockford standing by the Firebird, and the watch is there. And I made a mental note.
Yeah.
Buy that watch. The estimate was $350 to $750. And I turned to somebody I was working with and said,
I can swing that.
We got to buy this shit. Yeah. This is, forget about the money. I got to have Jim Rockford's watch.
Yeah.
Woke up Friday morning, totally forgot about it.
Oh, no.
Totally forgot that the whole auction was going on. I was working. And then by end of the day, I was on Twitter and saw somebody tweeting about something they bought from the Jim Garner auction. And I went, fuck, and I went there. Yeah, the watch, it went for a few thousand dollars, this watch. It could have been mine.
Yeah?
Yeah, it could have been mine. It's my second bad watch story of the week.
Okay.
This is the one I want to dig in on with you guys.
Okay.
Because it is filled with stupidity. And not mine. The watch dealer stupidity. Okay?
Who are we talking about? Who's the dealer?
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
And you tell me whether you think this is right or wrong.
Don't say Fran Tarkington.
Okay? Last weekend, I'm sitting with my goofball friends. I'm not going to say any of their names. But we're talking watches. And I go, you know what? Here's a watch I think is a little undervalued. It was a Hodinkee release. It's something I forgot, didn't know about, didn't have a chance to buy one. You know, they sell these out in a minute. It's one of just a few hundred. And there are a couple on the secondary market right now. There are four of them. Sub $10,000 watches. But I think I need to buy one of these. At the very least, go up or down, I don't care. It's a beautiful watch, and I'll wear it, and I'll enjoy it. It's like some of their other ones.
What's a Hodinkee by who?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
Because I still may buy one of
these,
and I feel like if I say it, everybody's
going to buy it. Hodinkee does a gazillion special edition watches.
They do.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what I like, and they know the brands that I like, and this is one, except this was not an expensive watch. And in this conversation with my friend, we were talking about the stupidity of collecting, of our stupidity, and what we care about most. And this person cares about numbers, numbers that are significant. And sometimes before he buys a car or anything, he'll try to get the number that is significant to him as well.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Magic numbers. Stupid, funny guy from New York City. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody wants to hear about it.
Right.
And I was saying that doesn't that make buying the thing harder when you have to get the number in addition to finding the example? And he goes, well, that's what makes it fun if you can get the number. And I said, you know, I'm going to try to do that with this watch because I know there were a little over 200 made. And why don't I try to find a number that's meaningful to me? I bet you out of the four or five that are for sale in the world, one of those will have a number that's... So I went home that night. I sent out four emails to all of these different dealers on Chrono 24, on eBay, wherever I found them.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you have numbers that mean anything to you?
I think they'd be obvious if I could get, let's see, if I got a nine, I wouldn't know, but if I looked at the number and I went, oh, okay. I live at that street number, or we're dealing with a little over 200.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that's my birth year.
Got it.
64.
Got it. Okay.
I didn't know what I was looking for, but I would kind of know out of this, I think five watches, one of them would be the one that I buy, and they're all priced around the same.
Okay.
Every single one of these idiots said, we're not telling you what the number is.
This is like whiskey collecting. They do this with whiskey. So it'll say like number, you know, it'd be like bottle 70 out of 184. But when they put the add up, they'll remove the number it is because people care, apparently. It's the same exact whiskey from the same exact barrel, but the number's special.
Okay. So,
yeah.
This is Delray Watch Supply. Somebody named Delray Watch Supply. Now, keep in mind, I know Ben Clymer and I know who did.
Sure.
And I'm not a counterfeiter. I don't think.
I mean.
But I do want to know what I'm buying. I do want to know what I'm buying.
Fair enough.
I feel like I have a right to know what I'm buying. Delray Watch Supply, the genius is there. Hi, Spike. Unfortunately, this is also the serial number of the watch and cannot be disclosed for security purposes. There's a lot of counter... And then it basically accuses me of being a counterfeiter, to which I respond...
Yeah.
Hey, to put you at ease, this is my name. This is what I write dumb jokes for a living. I also collect watches.
I'm fairly well known in the
I didn't even say that. I was just trying to prove I'm not a thief.
Right.
Here's a link. I know Ben, and here's a link to me on Talking Watches.
Yeah.
It would mean a lot to me if you told me what it was, because I just want to, I want to buy the right number. This is what he wrote back. I can't tell you for security purposes. I know who you are.
What security?
I can tell you the number is lower, on the lower side, under 100. And I said, I don't understand. I don't understand. Don't have a right to know what I'm buying. I'm sorry if I come off as accusing you of something. I was simply trying to explain our security protocol. I'm aware of who you are. I'm aware of who you are, my friend, but unfortunately, when it comes to things like this, we cannot make an exception.
Wow.
and I didn't have time to engage, but I'm going to engage now via the podcast and this level of stupidity. What I wanted to write back, and I want them to know, is like, if I were in the business of counterfeiting sub $10,000 watches from not big collectible brands.
Yeah, highly lucrative, yeah.
I can scratch any number between 1 and 250 on that watch. I don't need to know your watch.
Right.
Oh, yours is 78? Oh, now I'm going to write 78.
Right.
And when we buy cars, I want to talk to the watch community in general, because I understand when there's a Rolex that has a 10-digit serial number, that's different. But this is a new watch that has a 3-digit serial number that anybody can Google and write any number between 0 and 250 with a magic marker on it any day of the week if there was a business for counterfeiting this specific watch, which there is not.
Right. I've never even heard of, like, it's just a serial, it's like if you won't release the VIN of a car.
It's an old idea. It's pre-internet. It's a very old idea, and again, I understand why when we're talking about like Paul Newman Daytonas or ultra rare serial numbers, I get that. But in the age of the internet, there are no more secrets about this stuff. And with cars, you're exactly right. If I were buying a 550 and the guy said, I can't tell you the serial number this $10 million car.
Yeah, it's 1 out of 70, though.
If that guy is disclosing a 550 VIN number, you can disclose the $6,000 watch.
Yeah, you can disclose
to me, the guy who has the video, the watch.
Right.
And you just unsold me on the watch. You unsold me on you and your stupidity and the watch.
But I would say, if I may,
go ahead,
maybe don't worry about the number. Because if you didn't worry about the number, you'd be enjoying the watch
but
right now.
But listen to That's what he's true. Saying.
He's wrong.
You're not allowed to know some important information about this watch until you buy it. And I disagree with that. Even a house, you do a full inspection and everything is checked.
You're in the right. But if you didn't listen to your B-list comedian friend from New York City, then you would have the watch on your wrist right now and be really happy.
I couldn't, because I would be so upset about this story.
No, you're missing my point. If you never thought about the number, if you didn't have to think about the serial number of a $6,000 watch, you just have it on your wrist.
I would have asked anyways. I would have asked what number of what number. Like on this other watch I have of theirs, I know I have 26.
Okay. So you do care.
I do care. I'm interested in the number, but not that I care about it in a way that I'd get obsessive about, but I would, before I buy something, I'd go, well, what number of 250 is this? I'm just curious.
It's just the principle of him not divulging this information that should be pretty easy to divulge
to a legitimate guy.
Yeah.
By the way, all three other ones started pinging me with the same information. Like, we can't tell you what you just pay us. We're not going to tell you about what
it
is.
That is weird. People are weird about numbers, though. It's like numerology.
Yeah, it
is. Don't you follow it through? I mean, if I were them, I'd be going, what's the risk of handing this off to this podcast guy? Just going, here's the number. Would you like to buy it? Because you know what would have happened, Delray Watch guy? You listening? I was about to buy it.
Yeah,
no, I was about to send you the money.
Not only that,
and it wouldn't have mattered what number it was. Yeah. I was just going to get
up,
it.
Let's say it showed up quickly and was working. You'd be like, "Hey, I could buy more stuff from this business."
Oh yeah,
you know,
you could be talking favorably on this podcast about it.
The second he said that, he goes, "Look, you know, we're not supposed to disclose that, but are you interested in really buying it?" We go, "Yeah." He go, "Here's the number." I go, "Great."
Yeah.
And then we'd be talking. He'd be selling me stuff all the time. Instead,
yeah,
I'm talking to Bob's Watches. That's right. Bob's nice. Watches, the most trusted destination to buy or sell. And we'll tell you all of the serial numbers of all of their watches before you buy them.
Wow.
Yep.
They'll sell you the serial number without the watch.
You can just, yeah, that's right. They'll give you a list of serial numbers. Counterfeit whatever you like. It's like if you get the
VIN plate.
It's hilarious to me that you can get a list of VIN numbers, right? Nobody's checking. Have you ever checked a serial number on a Rolex? I haven't.
I have a bunch.
I've never checked one.
I'm quasi aware that they even have numbers.
So. I check books and papers and provenance, and I talk to previous owners. But I wouldn't know a fake serial number if it hit me in the face. But if I bought a weird looking watch with a serial number on it and had no papers, I would, of course, suspect it's probably fake.
Oh, all man. Watches are fake. Go ahead.
But not Bob's watches. He's got the realest watches with the best numbers. Ooh, some of those numbers. Listen to some of these numbers. 00911.
Ooh.
00550-003.
Now we're talking.
Wow.
Right. Talk dirty watch numbers to me.
Tudor 00356. Omega 9083. Breitling's, Cartier's, Patek's. Explore thousands of models available now. And they know you're entitled to all the information about these watches, whether they're pre-owned or new. They're going to tell you everything you need to know about it. Overnight delivery, shipping included. God damn it. Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. We'll keep going. Let's keep going. Not to keep complaining, but...
Yeah.
The Pebble Beach Concours is a little up in the air right now.
Oh, no. What happened? You told me the other day. You're sending me emails. They're spelling my name wrong.
Right.
They fixed that. Somebody I know who's very famous, who's making, is starring in a movie right now, has decided to appear. And the Concours was not able to get the hotel accommodations right for us. And they sent me in the direction of this lady who we have to deal with every year who runs the hotel. And she's like, "I don't have rooms for you or Paul. I can't make them materialize." And, I said, "Look, I don't know how it works. I know there's a Concours and I know there's you and I know somehow you're tied together, but every year we come up there and do this for free and we do it for charity and we don't ask to get paid. We our own expenses, whether it's flying, driving, and staying, we pay. But now you're not even going to give us the rooms so we can pay? Now we have no place to stay? All they were supposed to do is give us reservations, and then we would pay for the rooms.
You'd pay for the rooms?
Of course.
Oh.
It's so wrong.
We got to talk.
I know, right?
Because you know you know what those rooms cost during car week.
And
200.
No.
An hour.
It's a lot of money. No, I know. And they make you book out four. But I said to them, I go, "Look, I'm going to do this. And we're going to bring people up every year. We've had Pat Dempsey. We've had Jerry. We've had lots of famous people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to do. And I do it for them. And I do it for them free. I said, the only thing I ask is that you just get me a hotel room for two nights. Just the reservation outside of this five-night requirement that costs 20 grand.
Yeah.
And I'll pay for that. But just get us the reservations because you have to make them years in advance.
Yeah.
They've always done it. This year, this lady who's been difficult for many, many years, whose name I won't say, she just said, "What?" She was like a female Zuckerman. Imagine Zuckerman taking this call. It was that lady that you know, "Now, you want to fight again, lady?" It was that lady. "I can't just make them appear." And then she says, "These rooms are for the people participating in the Concours."
Oh, boy.
And that was it. I lost it. I was very polite. I said, "Well, will you please just tell everybody we can't make it this year?" And I said, "Thank you so much." And I hung up the phone. But so I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, all right. Well,
I reached out to the Concours and I said, "I think there's been a misunderstanding," and they're on it right now, trying to fix it. But the link is up. Get the tickets.
No, I know. I saw the link yesterday, and if it would free up my afternoon if it got canceled. I have other stuff to do.
Look. But. Reggie, you know how showbiz works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're supposed to take care of all of that, right?
They
you
are.
Show up somewhere when you do a show. Not only are you paid, you get a paycheck. and you get your hotel paid for, and a lot of times travel expenses too, right?
Totally,
right?
Well, I mean, you know, as long as the expectation is set in advance, then that's what's followed.
And I feel like since it was for charity, I would do this for free, and sure. I also like hanging out with everybody there, and I like the car thing, so I kind of win. And it's fine with me that I spend some money up there. And I have fun. The forums are always fun. I like meeting the fans. I like doing that stuff. But I'm not going to sleep in an RV.
RV? You couldn't find an RV. You're going to be in San Jose at a Motel 6. That's the only thing that's not booked within 40 miles of there.
Yep. Or helicoptering in and out, man.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. That's a good option. let's talk. That's a good option.
We do usually fly in on Zuckerman's planes. He's got planes laying around that are fun.
Zuckerman has planes?
His firm does. We're flying in a Cirrus or something like that.
Yeah. King of the sky.
Nice. What was I going to say? My morning was a little... this is going to lead into the Lucid and what's going on with you, Johnny, because I want to talk to you about it. So I dropped off this car... and was Ubering to the airport to meet my friend and realized don't have a mask. Open up the Uber. It said, you got to have a mask. And I went, fuck. Started walking on the auto mile part of Santa Monica Boulevard with no stores and no masks. And then finally just went to my friend, just come pick me up here. And we're going to head out to Malibu. Here was the Tesla supercharger at 9:15 in the morning. Of which there are about, I think, 25 of them in a small parking lot right up on Santa Monica Boulevard there.
I've been there, yep.
Cars, Teslas, out the entrance on both sides, blocking traffic on both sides with people in cars trying to get by, beeping the horns loudly. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Loud, loud beeping. Couldn't figure out. And they're just Teslas lined up and people waiting. And I remembered I was looking at your post last night. Again, you've talked about this on the show again, but I don't think people really fully understand the charging network of America is not ready for all of these electric cars. And that's the first time I've seen a Tesla a lot, like, junked up and people almost ripping each other apart. But tell everybody what was going on with you.
Well, if I can preempt that. So something weird has happened with the humongous gas prices is that for the first time ever, 5% of U.S. auto sales are EVs, which is a huge number.
Yeah, price of gas.
Yeah, and so everyone's into it. So, yeah, you know, so I have this Lucid. It's the Air Grand Touring Performance. So, you know, huge battery, 1,050 horsepower. And I was driving it down from Lucid's headquarters yesterday to here, and I had to add like 30 miles of range because, like, you know, to get home, that's what I needed. So I stopped in Paso Robles at a supercharger I knew about. It's at a Bank of America parking lot.
What is the full charge? After a full charge, what do you get?
A full charge would be 446 miles on that car. Yeah,
great.
I didn't need a full charge. I just need to add a little.
Okay.
And it's 150 kilowatt hour charger. So it's, you know, level 2 charger, I think that is. So I get there and there's 3 chargers. First of all, I've been driving for 4 hours because traffic's horrible up in Northern California.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite what anyone says about LA, it's 20 times worse up there. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I had to pee so bad. I get to a bank and, you know, there's nowhere to pee. And then all 3 chargers are full. I get out of the car and this guy and his wife in a Chevy Bolt behind me go, "Hey, buddy, like, we're up next, and then him, and then you." And I'm like, "Don't worry about it. It's cool. It's cool."
Buddy.
And yeah. And then a Ford Lightning showed up, and
I saw that.
And nobody...
But there's no movement, right? You said the people hooked up to the chargers were on the phone to customer service.
That was the funniest thing. So, after the guy in the Chevy stopped yelling at me, he was a very nice guy, by the way, I look, and there's this couple, and the husband's got the phone in one hand, the finger in the ear in the other hand, and then he puts both his arms up in the air in celebration. He's like, "It's working!" And then the guy in the Kia next to him was like, "How'd you get it to work?" You know.
Oh my god.
But the Lucid, because I knew I only needed this little bit, it had 160 miles left. So in Pismo, next to the the Tesla superchargers there's a hidden Electrify America
Tesla.
And it's got a 350 kilowatt hour charger.
So we're talking.
Yeah. And so I went there, and in 19 minutes, I had a 204 miles of range. Yeah. I walked to a coffee shop.
Is the adapter in the car?
There's no adapter. No. It just plugs right in.
Just standard.
So
wait. Tesla would need an adapter.
Tesla would need an adapter.
But you said you went to the Tesla. How did I not?
Sorry,
that
it was
story?
Next to. There's next a massive bank of Tesla superchargers in Pismo at this like outlet mall, and like buried in the corner where you can't see it. There's some Electrify America chargers.
So what is the best charging network?
There is none. Tesla. There is none. They're all not good. You know what I mean?
Right. But so, the one you used was great, you said.
This one's hidden. No one's on it.
It's called
Electrify America.
Okay. But they're like the best of what's out there now that's not Tesla.
Where do you mostly charge?
I charge mostly at home. I use an outside charger maybe 3-4 times a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was, you know, the Lucid, I should mention it charges so fast because like your Taycan is an 800 volt architecture. The Lucid Air is, I think, 912 volts or something like that. So you're watching it. It's like, it's adding a mile of range a second. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. It's so fast on a 350 kilowatt charger
at peak.
I plugged in the Rivian on the studio lot.
Oh, and then
into a wall socket.
And it never does that.
It said charging at 3 miles in 103 hours.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
And then after about a day, I had one extra mile on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was embarrassing. That doesn't do anything.
Yeah. But on the home charger, it was okay.
Yeah.
It charged overnight.
I was elated. I got home last night and I was like, okay, because it was like the 101 was closed. It was insanity last night. And as I get home, I plug in the Rivian charger into the Lucid.
Yep.
And like, and then it worked. It just instantly worked. Yeah. I was like, oh, hallelujah. Yeah. You know, and and I woke up this morning and it was fully charged.
Wow.
Good to go. Yeah.
Home chargers like work pretty much interchangeably, you know, like, cause I use my Tesla for the Taycan. The great thing about that is I plug it in. I have a little adapter for it. Plug it in. It immediately starts charging. However, the Porsche one, which I also have a hookup in my garage for that, I'll put that in, but then it needs to fire up. Go online, do a bunch of stuff.
The Porsche.
So yeah. I had this once.
Why did they do that?
Part of it is like they want to document stuff and they want it to like go to the cloud and they want to like learn whatever data analytics.
That's not cool.
But also it'll charge only to 85%.
I know, but you know that moment. You want to plug it in and get instant charge. Whether it's a flashlight.
Sure.
Of course. Whether it's your keyboard. It doesn't matter.
I get it.
The second you plug it in, you want it to go boom.
Of course.
Start charging.
I had an experience. What was it? I think it was a Mercedes EQS. I tried to plug into my buddy's Porsche charger.
That didn't work.
And like I'm sitting there flipping out like, you're both from fucking Stuttgart. Like you should work. And it just would never start. It just was like thinking and
too much of the Wi-Fi shit.
Yeah.
The Tesla one's just like, oh, there's a car, okay, I'm gonna start charging.
And that seems to be the way the Rivian home one works.
Yeah.
That's good. But you know, but like it's not like, because I had to, when we installed it and it didn't work, I had to get another one, but we disassembled the one that wasn't working. And it's not just like a plug. There's a lot of cords and computer banks and stuff. And the lights mean different things. So I was like, oh God, like, please just, cause last thing I want to do after an 11 hour drive.
Right.
Let's go to a like charger.
Troubleshoot.
We'll just go to a charger. Go sit at an Electrify America.
Oh, that would suck.
That's the last thing I want to do.
Did you have any cruise control on?
Yeah.
On this 11-hour drive? What do they call that in the Lucid? What's the
program? They call it Dream Drive.
Dream Drive.
Dream Drive.
And is it a dream? Does it work?
It's early days on it, right? Yeah. As Peter, the CEO, said, he's like, we're going to be fast follow on ADAS. As soon as that technology is really good, we're there. We got the hardware for it. We're waiting on the software.
Gotcha.
And that's really the story of that car right now. Like, they've got it to a point where the software, the nav and the infotainment and all that is pretty good. It's not great. It's pretty good. But they have this huge upgrade coming where it's like going to be lightning fast. And it's just going to be an over-the-air update they push out in a couple months. And
it's a luxury car. And it makes me wonder how many people who buy luxury cars are going to want to put up with stuff that's not quite there yet.
It'll be there in two months. There was a demo. Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
There was a demo of the new software.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like our friend who's got one, he's just like, it's still not right. And
his was a very early one. He bought the Dream Edition. Right. This is not that. This is a newer iteration. This is the Grand Touring, the GTP, Grand Touring Performance.
Performante.
And again, the software is fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's going to become
fine.
Excellent.
It's fine.
It's okay.
Fine.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Mediocre.
Yeah, it'll do.
It's good.
It's good. Like, it takes 5 seconds for the map to snap awake. You know, the map's like thinking and downloading or whatever.
I keep talking to people who will buy anything but a Tesla these days. It's funny. I keep Musk meeting people like, I know the Tesla works itself well. But I can't support that guy. And I'm like, I
know.
He came out in favor of DeSantis. Like, it's a way to lose your base.
I know. Like, I know. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Anyone but DeSantis.
Don't you think Tesla has to get rid of him?
Well, I mean, he is to survive. Tesla.
But he's now taking it down. He's taking it down.
I mean, look, he's eliminated the communications department, so they don't have marketing. Right. They don't have PR. No one talks about anything but him. You know, he is the company. I mean,
maybe smart to step down, let someone else take
this
over.
This is the problem.
I mean, when your customer base, when they're not going to buy a car because of the guy who's running the company, I mean, that's rough.
And that's the problem when someone has $250 billion. Like, what does he really care if he stopped buying his car, really? Oh, he'll lose half. He's only got $125
billion.
Don't
they have a board? Wasn't he ousted from the board?
He was calling somebody saving children a pedophile. Like, he did everything you can't do. It doesn't matter.
But I mean, if he's really affecting the bottom line of the company, don't they get rid of him?
They can't. I mean, they...
They can't?
Of course I don't
they
know. Can. I don't know.
Of course
I, look,
they can.
I don't know. Well, why haven't they?
Probably hasn't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, they haven't gotten there. They're hoping he straightens out.
But that's like Trump's going to be presidential any day now. Just wait. He's going to behave. The power and the responsibility of the office will set him straight.
You're right. Yeah. That's what'll happen.
Meanwhile, he's painting the walls with ketchup and, you know, like...
Speaking of ketchup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. Every plate. Put ketchup on all of every plate's stuff. It's delicious. 25% cheaper than grocery shopping. Try America's best value meal kit. Delicious dinners that don't break the bank. I've got every plate coming in this week.
Mm.
I thought the meal kits had to be expensive. It turns out every plate is more affordable than groceries. Their quality ingredients come pre-proportioned to help you save money and reduce food waste. You know that bag of spinach you throw out every week?
Oh, I hate that. Yes, that bag.
I know that one.
My wife and I fight about this a lot. I go, I'm glad you bought a bunch of groceries from Whole Foods that make you feel good. But none of us eat that. It really makes me crazy.
Your poor wife.
That pancake mix is really, it's perfect, but it makes shitty tasting pancakes. You're right. Organic apples are great. They also die in one half a day and make bugs. Now I'm killing bugs, but not with every plate. Everything arrives all ready to make. It really is. It comes in a box. It's all your groceries. It's got the recipes. And I've said, Erica actually likes it. She makes us delicious meals when it arrives. She feels the urgency. She's got to cook it right away. We get 5 meals that week. Now they come on a Monday for us. And you save time and money. The whole thing is there. You don't have to do anything. Go to everyplate.com. What are we offering you here? Everyplate.com. Oh, here we go. Get your first box of Every Plate for $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering the code SPIKE179. Everyplate.com, code SPIKE179. Yeah, everyplate.com, SPIKE179. And then don't we have a new website, Spike Codes?
Spike Codes. Is it spikecodes.com?
Spikes Codes?
Spikes Codes? I can't
remember. Spikes. Spikes Codes?
Spikes Peak.
Codes?
Spikes Peak.
I'm lost. But,
Spike Code.
We love Every Plate, and we use
Spike
Every Plate.
Code.
Spike Code.
Did you want in on Every Plate?
Of course. Free food? Hell yeah.
Okay, maybe why that's 179? Why they sent it to me. I took it. I don't decide.
It's $1.79 a meal.
Ah.
We have a company in London called Audio Boom who buys and sells the ads and takes care of all that stuff. Yeah. But I've talked to them about that.
Yeah.
Every code is different. And then, of course, they come to one of us for the codes. And then instead of us doing our jobs during the week, we're sending codes to people because they like the stuff, which is fine.
Funny.
So
that's
I'm trying to make it easy for everybody, as you did with Athletic Greens.
I did Athletic Greens.
Now Liquid IV is one of our new sponsors. Oh, those guys.
Liquid IV.
I didn't recognize the packaging of the big pack. When we drove the Rivians cross country, I lived on that stuff.
Yeah.
It was like 160
degrees.
Well,
save it for what we do. An ad for them.
Oh,
they're
we're
not
doing an ad
this week.
Okay. Sorry. I lived on that stuff.
Yeah. My tennis teacher
it out
called
of the pack,
too. It's
I was
great.
Like, whoa. It's Diet Gatorade. Yeah.
In
it's
the
great.
Summer.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's some really. I don't know if I want to open this up, but I guess I will.
You got to do it.
All right.
Let me just get
yeah. Open it up, Spike.
Because people, you know, they're saying it's a bunch of whiny, complaining rich guys when it comes to Malibu, right?
yeah, forget about Malibu and done. Their $100 million homes and the amount of tax money they're raking in. And but yeah, we're the problem. There was a brazen robbery in broad daylight today at the Malibu Country Mart. This is
today?
Last week.
Okay.
They stole $600,000 worth of watches from one of the stores.
Yes, I heard about this, yes.
And I say this because the police are focused on our little car show on Sunday mornings. Not the police, but the Malibu people. Forgive me, not the sheriff's department.
It's like the Rotary Club. It's the Rotary Club.
It's the Rotary Club. Yeah. It's the Malibu
Karens. The busybody.
Yeah. It's the busybody Malibu Country Mart and some of the landlords there. Yet, a bunch of guys with guns went in and did a smash and grab at Maxfield, I guess, that has vintage Rolexes. I don't know. I don't know that place is. And then I was chatting with Bill this morning, who said the tourists who were stopping and going to the beach, who have their stuff in their cars, they come back to their cars and suddenly their windows are smashed and all their stuff is being taken. As he was helping one family from Scotland, another family parked next to him had their stuff taken.
Really?
And I only say this to send a little love letter to the Malibu Country Mart people and the city of Malibu. Get it together. Focus on what's really important here and help keep people safe and leave us alone.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it doesn't happen when we're hanging out, drinking coffee, looking at cars, is robberies. armed robbery.
Armed robberies are going on there.
There's witnesses. Yeah, armed robbery. And they're worried. And
when we're there, there hasn't been a single armed robbery, has there?
They're worried about Jay Leno.
Hey, how you doing? Just give me those Rolex watches right there. Yeah, of course the gun's loaded. I'm telling you, it's loaded. It's, yeah, why would I take a gun that's not loaded? yeah, I'll pose for a picture. All right, give me the watches before I kill you.
Wow.
And we love Jay Leno.
We do.
But good Lord. Yeah,
wow.
Crew of six with hoodies entered Maxfield. By the way, it's fine. Take Maxfield stuff. It's just selling crap to rich people, and they deserve it. And they have insurance. It's all good. As long as no one gets hurt,
I mean,
it's
except
all fine.
For the
enjoy
poor schmucks, like, you know, making minimum wage, working at the watch store, they get guns put in their face.
Employee said no one was injured. I was told there was a security guard there, and I said to Bill, I go, what did he do? And he goes, nothing. He doesn't have a gun. I go, well, he's not a security guard then. He's just a guy.
But if there's six guys with guns and one security guard.
No, three guys, three girls.
Sorry, six humans with guns versus one guy with a gun.
They were unauthorized to speak about the incident. A spokesman from Lost Hill Sheriff's Department, our friends over there who are also hanging out with us at the car show and occasionally threatening us, but nearly $500,000 in merchandise taken.
Jeez.
Yeah. The car community can help you guys. If you need help, we will come help you any day of the week to keep your stores safe. You want us to put a little car show there on Tuesdays when this happened? We will stop your crime.
Yes.
We're crime stoppers. But damn it, leave us alone.
Well, crime stoppers and Lamborghinis.
They think they're winning. It's so funny. It's the same thing. You know, I haven't been there for a month or so, but I heard it's like, yeah, they weren't as many cars this time. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
As soon as it stops, they'll come back. But, you know, I was there today and it's filled with dangerous tourist driving. There's nothing like it. We put cones now behind our cars so we don't get backed into. Cones.
Wow. Really?
Because everybody's stoned on the beach.
Yeah.
Or just in looking around, dazed looky loo mode. And all right. Paul Walker's car is coming up for auction.
What?
The star of Fast and the Furious movie franchise passed away in 2013, but one of his personal cars will play a starring role. I wrote this during this year's Monterey Car Week in August. Fully restored, looking sweet, 73 Porsche 911 RS yellow. Johnny? Walker once told Jay Leno how he found this car for sale online and agreed to purchase it sight unseen back in 2011. Is Paul Walker valuable to the car world far as value?
Yes.
Why?
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he passed away in a very legendary car.
Well, no, I know. Not only that.
Fast and Furious.
He was a genuinely nice guy. You know, and he, you know, the first couple of Fast and Furiouses were great. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. If, you know, it's for a certain generation. Yeah. You know, loved him, and he was a legit collector. Like, he actually mm-hmm. had taste. You know, he wasn't just buying whatever. And you know, if you're gonna buy any car sight unseen, the 73 RS is a pretty good, you know, risk to take.
Isn't that funny how Porsche can kill its most famous fans and become stronger?
Right, James Dean, Paul Walker. Handsome they blonde
almost,
guys.
They almost got Leno. You remember when he was in the Carrera GT and he was doing that lap and he almost hit the wall, but he spun into the infield? There are others, though. Lots of folks have died, and it seems to make them stronger.
Sure, you know.
So would you buy, Reggie, would you buy a Paul Walker car because he owned it?
Sure. Well, not because he owned it.
Well, that's maybe the question.
I'm chasing down
Jim Rockford's watch because he owned it. Would you buy that car just because Paul Walker owned
it? I wasn't enough of a Walker fan to make that too much a part. I think it would be an added feature.
I mean, if it came down to two cars, one was owned by him, one wasn't, go for the Paul Walker one. Why not?
As long as it wasn't too much more expensive. Because then it's kind of
right.
Like, well
that's
get the
ultimate
car.
Question. What's the premium because right. it was Paul Walker's car? A 73 RS is a very desirable car. And the Porsche community is going to evaluate the car first and foremost, I think. If it was Steve McQueen's, then you buy it at any cost.
Doesn't matter.
Restore it and you make it perfect. And then you have a...
But remember, the people that know who Steve McQueen, know who he is, are dying rapidly. People know who Paul Walker is. They're getting wealthier and wealthier. You know what I mean? So the Paul Walker car might be a great investment because in 20 years, no one's going to know Steve McQueen. People are going to know Paul Walker.
I mean, if it were Paula Poundstone's, then I would get it.
Well...
Like, in a second.
What do you think she drives?
My wife is very close to Paula Poundstone.
Really? So you know what she drives?
She's selling, I'm buying.
I don't, but I just saw her doing stand-up at one of my wife's political events, and she crushed. And I went, wow, that was impressive. It was like a Saturday morning with a bunch of old people at like 9:30 in the morning, and she came out, and she just crushed. And I went, wow.
Wow.
The power of a stand-up. Do you know Paula?
I don't know her now. I just
it's a good reference, though.
Yeah,
is her car significant? No,
I have no idea what she.
There is a weird West Side politician. I think her name is Sheila Kuehl.
Yeah,
that was a city, LA City Council or something. And my wife was meeting with her, and she said, "You should come on over. We're down the street at this park." They were talking something about park works or something. And I'm like, why? She goes, just come over. I want you to see this car. She's got this red Porsche 356 she's had her whole life. That was her family's car.
Whoa.
And she's been driving it and dailying it, the car. And I said, I don't know what you do, but I'm going to vote for you.
Totally.
I've never seen anything like this.
Of course. She's like, I put kids in cages. that's my policy.
You think my wife is a right winger?
Just because she
might be. She's so far left, she might have met by now.
It is a circle.
I wasn't even thinking of your wife. I was just thinking of your, I don't know what you stand for, but I'll vote
for
you.
I didn't hear anything she said or even why they were there. I was so impressed that this woman was driving this car winter, spring, summer, and fall. There you go.
Holding for siren.
Nope, not on the podcast.
Wow, I heard tires screeching. They're going. Car chase.
Huh. Wow.
Maybe.
That's Zuckerman's home.
Hey, there's nothing faster than the radio, guys. There's nothing faster than the radio.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to do one more ad. Then think of what to talk about.
I already know what the product is, but
what
go
is
ahead.
It? Go ahead, take a guess.
Huh? It's a... It's probably like ShamWow.
ShamWow? I don't even know it. Oh, it's Mint Mobile. Years of print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers.
Oh.
If we've learned anything, that there's always a catch. So when I first heard about ShamWow Mobile, I mean Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile. They offer premium wireless starting at $15 a month. There goes Mint Mobile, Spike. What's that? They dropped the ads? I thought, what's the catch? But after Mint Mobile's secret sauce, using their service, it made sense. There isn't one. Their secret sauce is they're the first company to sell wireless service only online. They cut out the cost of retail stores, pass those sweet savings to you. I told you. I did sign up for that, and I just got a SIM card in the mail, and I plugged it into my phone, and now I had a new phone service. I loved it. For anyone who hates their phone bill, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless, just $15 a month. Mint Mobile gives you the best rate, whether you're buying one, a family at Mint. Families start at two lines. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your phone. Then Mint Mobile plan. Keep your same phone plan. phone number along with all your existing contacts. Imagine signing up for a new place and losing your contacts. Why would that happen? Hey, I got a new phone. No contact. We're taking your contacts.
I mean, could you imagine?
Contacts seem to automatically upload to a phone now. You don't even have to save them anymore. It says, is this the one you were looking for? And I'm like, how did you know that?
Yeah.
It's just $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/spike911 and mintmobile.com/spike911. Mintmobile.com/spike911.
It's meant to be.
The phone is spooky these days. It really is. It really is. Imagine, here's an article.
Imagine living without it. You know?
Rolex Daytona prices continue to slide. I consider this good news. We're going to leave you with this last good news story.
Uh-oh.
Rolex Daytona prices continue to slide on the resale market as the crypto crash wipes out wealth of newer collectors. Now you have my attention. You're gonna write an article like that on Business Insider. Verified news, Johnny.
Slide to what? What are we sliding to?
Either way.
Fair.
It's been a long time since we heard car prices. I haven't heard those yet, but some. But watch prices are coming down.
Yeah.
Right? And I want everybody to be able to afford some of these nicer watches. That's what's fun about it. That's what I loved about the Swatch Omega. You could get it for $276, and it looks like an Omega Speedmaster, which costs $5,000.
Yeah, and you can still get them.
They're on the secondary market. They're still kind of holding up. They're not limited, and they're making them in the. But you still have to show up to a Swatch.
You have to go to a Vegas or San Francisco or wherever. Yeah.
But then that keeps this weird secondary market going on eBay, where you can buy them, maybe as low as 700, but as high as 5,000. I don't know what idiot.
Do you remember the day they came out? They were like 13,000 for the Mars watch or whatever.
Yeah,
it was. I was like, well, come on, you get the best Speedmaster ever made for that, you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it's one of the great watches, the Speedmaster.
Yeah.
But, okay, so here, the crowd favorite Daytona reference, 116500. That's the one.
That's the one.
The whites, the blacks, has been in a month-long slide from its peak in mid-March to around 48,500. They're not saying which colors. That was probably for the white one.
Yeah.
Down more than 16% today to 39,500. According to data from watch charts.
Okay.
Decline of that particular reference, along with others in its family, is driving a wider drop in the brand's performance on the secondary market, which is down more than 10% over the past 3 months, again, per watch charts. Rolex watches are on track to erase all the price gains. Who the hell is investing in Rolexes? This is written as if you were putting your life savings into Rolexes.
Oh, people were doing the craziest shit.
All the price gains they made this year in the resale market. The drop follows steeper crashes for stocks and crypto that are hitting the new collector's wealth. Even with the decline, experts say Daytonas and other top-tier timepieces. Timepieces are still a resilient asset class. Do you agree, Reggie? Do you care? Do you have an opinion?
You know, I'm not a big watch guy. I don't know.
But if you were to buy one,
yes,
you'd buy it for your personal enjoyment, right?
I'd buy a watch because it was cool. Yeah,
right.
I loved it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it because I'm hoping that's going to increase value.
So you're a reasonable human.
Yeah.
Am I.
Yeah.
What about you, Johnny?
Well, people are crazy.
So you were a crypto guy.
Yeah. I got plenty of Bitcoin, which...
Well, that's cut in half, too.
Well, cut in half, but like you didn't ask me when I bought it. I'm still doing awesome. You know what I mean? Even with the crash.
Right.
So, but no, I know a guy who's like, I went all in on Solara. I quit my job. I'm like, Solara? Like, what are you? No, don't do that. Like, Bitcoin.
And what happened to Solara?
Bitcoin was gone. I don't think it exists anymore. Yeah, I think that was like a stable coin.
Thank God there's no regulation in crypto. That's good news.
Well, but again, people
here
were doing
one
that
day and gone the next. It's an easy problem. Just gone.
But people were like hoarding $57,000 Daytonas, like a Panda Daytona for 50, you know.
Yeah, but that's an asset you can hold in your hand.
Yeah, but if it's dropping 16% in value.
I would tell you this from experience, again, and having owned cars that go up and down. That
if you
buy something you love, you always love it. Sometimes you love it and you make money on it, but you always love it.
But they weren't buying it because they loved it. They were buying it because they thought they were getting in on a scam.
That's something you don't do.
Right.
That's something we tell you not to do.
The only thing that goes up is real estate. I mean, you know, California real estate. Everything else
that goes down too.
Rarely.
No, it does.
And quickly.
I remember talking when we were selling our first house that we bought a while ago, and we were talking to our elderly woman neighbor about it, and she's like, "Honey," she goes, "you know, you're gonna buy houses, you're gonna sell houses. You got, sometimes you're gonna make money, sometimes you're gonna lose money, and then you're gonna die. That's what happens." He goes, "They go up but down. You just remember your times in the house." That was very wise. She was looking back over 60 years of owning real estate. She goes, you can't guess. She goes, "What you remember is the moments in the house with the people."
Well, I think you also remember if you bought something for X and now it's 3X. That's pretty memorable, too.
Yeah, it doesn't make you happy, though. It
doesn't make you happy. Like, it makes you money. Yeah.
Lost a little money.
Yeah. But I mean,
if you're like, "Hey, that's where my wife gave birth. That's where Grandpa died in that kitchen.
Your wife gave birth in the house?
These are great memories that I have."
Both those are horrible.
That's where my dog attacked that neighbor's child.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the memories.
Wonderful memories that I take from these homes.
That's right.
That's where
this is where the toilet clogged so bad.
I remember all the weird things that happened in houses. Like, I remember, this is horrible, and I'm not making fun of homeless people. But it was in my Franklin house that I lived in, the Gary Cooper house. It was Gary Cooper's house. He built it for his mom. Wow. I rented it when I came out here, and it was Saturday night, and it was pouring rain, and I'm watching an old black and white movie, and I heard screaming on my front lawn, and there was this woman in the mud crawling up to my window going, "Ha!" at like midnight, and it's just raining, and I open the door and go, what are you doing? And she saw me and she just ran away. It terrified me. Like, I remember those things. Right. I remember opening up my gate and suddenly a guy with a gun at 2 a.m. putting a gun right in my face, and then he goes, "Oh, sorry, police officer, I just chased a hooker in here."
That's my wife's officer.
It's like, "How dare you, sir?"
She had to use the restroom.
Yeah. "She only charges me sometimes." Why are you chasing her?
Just my soul.
I remember the gunshot going off outside, also watching TV. Bang! The TV's right there. I see the flash of light. And then I look out in the car. I see two more
guns. LA is pretty wild.
Hollywood. But this is years ago. Everybody says it's a hellscape now. Oh, no, the 90s. Oh, that was when it was nuts.
I lived in Echo Park over 20 years ago. Like, yeah.
It was nuts.
We found a guy on our couch on the on the back porch. Like, there's blood everywhere. Yeah. Like, you know, and we find the guy. Turned out our downstairs neighbor's, the ghost of her dead husband was haunting him. So he went over there to kill the ghost.
Yeah.
And put his arm through the window and was bleeding out on our couch. And it was on PCP. It was like, you know, it was wild back then.
Yeah.
So
it was a wild place. Yeah.
I want a downturn soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just need a riot and an earthquake order. That's what did it in the 90s.
That's when I moved here. It was right after the earthquake.
Yeah. Oh, that's when houses were cheap. Yeah.
I remember, too, there was this another really dramatic, beautiful moment. Again, it always seemed to be happening at night. And I used to smoke cigarettes, and I was out in the porch smoking a cigarette, and it was cloudy and a little rainy, and there was no traffic, right? It's Franklin Ave by Runyon there. And I heard a galloping. And I was just gallop, gallop, and it's getting closer. And then this beautiful giant deer with antlers is just galloping down the yellow line. Like, wow. Like, wow, what is this place? Yeah. I thought this was the city. Yeah, what is that thing?
No.
What is that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me really appreciate the weirdness of this place.
It's a weird place.
Yeah. It is.
Good driving, though.
Yeah.
Great driving.
Well, that's our show. That's the show. We hope you guys have enjoyed what we've had to say today.
That's great.
Zuckerman will be back.
Are you sure? Did they let him into the country?
I didn't want a podcast with him tomorrow because who knows what he picked up on the road.
Oh, monkeypox.
He's literally hanging out with apes.
Right? He's got ape pox.
Monkeypox.
He is monkeypox. Yeah. You know, I was reading about that could be the next big pandemic this morning. It just said that thing let loose and evolving and changing could turn into be this really horrible, deadly thing. After you get the pox, you just die.
Wow.
Really? That's our show, folks.
Good luck out there. Stay
but then
vigilant.
Don't you think when you hear people talking about global warming and the extinction of Earth, and you think more philosophically about how Earth has a way of getting rid of the problems that crawl on it.
That's true.
That maybe
it's true.
It's getting rid of us.
Yep.
I just look at that those new pictures from that Webb telescope, and I'm like, we mean nothing. There's no significance.
Well,
to
you know,
found
that stuff's
amazing.
You know, that's an old story, right? In the 90s, they sent the Hubble telescope up, and they told the same story, and they took the same picture.
Yeah.
So you hold your arm out with a grain of sand.
This
was the same story.
Yeah, but,
high res. The same idea. But you're right. Whenever things got stressful on that show, we used to put that photo up and go, well, look how insignificant we all are.
Yeah.
But then again, that's what has me worried here, that someone's going, COVID didn't do it. Let's throw some monkeypox. And if that doesn't work.
Yeah.
What a great name, though. If you're like,
it's just ridiculous.
Disease namers. Because, because COVID's really like a bird. It's avian flu, right?
Yeah.
That's not scary. Monkeypox.
Monkeypox is really a scary idea.
Rhinoceros.
I thought the same thing. I thought that's a pretty good name.
Rhinoceros diarrhea. It's coming for you.
I don't want to encounter it.
A pox upon you.
A pox upon you.
Yeah.
Unlucky monkey paw.
I got the ape pox. We should just call him ape pox from now on.
Yeah, he can get
ape pox.
Ape pox.
Well, I wish you all happy monkey pox, and we'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Keep poxing out there. Make sure to tune into our Poxcast.
Poxcaster.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.